Oh, yeah, that's...
Okay. That's, so she went down to the bank, she got a $72,000... How is she going to pay it off? And she had a real problem.
All right, it was the same way then. Right. The campaign was over, and I don't know that there was any rule that said we couldn't have fundraiser. Yeah. But as far as I knew, there was nobody ever had a fundraiser after an election, other than maybe within a week after the election. You know, a victory party, and you tried to raise money then. But that would be it. So I had to bite the bullet, and I went out and borrowed what amounted to 2/3 of the salary. It would be like a fellow being elected today to the Supreme Court, which pays $100,000, and going out and borrowing $66,000 to pay off his campaign. Anyway, we went from there, and I have had and remember at that time I had 5 children. So now 61, I win the election. 62, I was a common police court judge. 63, Governor Romney appointed me to the circuit court. 64, I ran for the full term as circuit court judge. In the meantime, and that was one of the only windows in the whole history of the state, I did not have a designation as an incumbent, though I was an incumbent, because of the Constitution of 63, which took the incumbency designation away from appointed judges. I did not have a designation. Charlie Kaufman, who was still a common police court judge, made the statement that he was going to run for circuit court against Brennan, and he was quoted in the paper as saying, "I beat him before, and I can beat him, and I'll beat him again." That challenge kind of got my Irish up. And anyway, that was a great campaign in '64, but I led the ticket, and I defeated Kaufman. And,
how did you take to being judge? Here you go in, and some guy fits you with a robe and stuff for the first time. Do you remember what the sensation was there? The people coming up in front of you and making plays.
Well, first of all, I took to it very well. I took to the profession well. A lot of reasons, I think. And I think a lot of it has to do with my upbringing and my education. The people who taught me and for whom I had great admiration and respect all wore robes. They were nuns and priests.
I see.
They were the hierarchy of life, you know, in that sense. Ceremony was something I grew up with, religious ceremony. I was an altar boy, you know. Mm-hmm. So the idea of ceremony was something I was comfortable with and understood. And of course, I was a lawyer and had practiced in the courts, so I was very familiar with what happened in the courts. I spent a lot of time in the courtrooms. I felt very comfortable with it right from the get-go.
Now, in common pleas, what was the normal diet of a day on the bench?
Well, common pleas court was basically a civil court with jurisdiction up to $10,000. It may have been $3,000 originally, but it got to $10,000. I think it's $20,000 today. I could be wrong.
A lot of replevins.
Replevins, basically, but the typical thing would be a debt, a business debt, or consumer debt. And one of the things we used to, when I was at Kenny Raymond Rockwell, the firm did a lot of collection work. That was their big thing. And one of our jokes was that the typical defense of a business defendant was, I never ordered the merchandise. It was never delivered, and besides, it was defective. And I never ordered it. It was never delivered. It wasn't what I wanted, and besides, it was defective. But no, it was. There were a lot of routine cases. Every morning at 9:30, Joe Kopecky would have a huge room full of people.
He was the clerk, was he?
When I was a young lawyer, and later Pace Gaucho, Getcho, was the clerk, and I can't recall who after him. The assignment clerk. The clerk of the court was a man named Ed Hackenjoss, who was a shirt-tail relative of mine.
Ed what?
Ed Hackenjoss.
H-A-C-I-K?
Yeah.
C-K-M-J.
H-A-C-K-E-N-J-O-S. Uh-huh. His sister, Rhea, married my uncle Pat Brennan. He was a wonderful man. He was a public servant of the old guard. Started out as a young boy, working as a clerk, and writing down everything he learned about the way the court operated, and everything the judges told him, and everything, every statute he would check and learn about, and so on. And it was all carefully filed in his little black books, which he still had when I met him. That little brown book up on the shelf he gave me is the procedures of the old Detroit JP Court, I believe, which was the forerunner of, and he knew the of the Common Pleas Court. He knew the history of the Common Pleas Court. He could tell you of the elections of the judges, and had all that stuff recorded in his little books. Wonderful, wonderful public servant. Anyway, I had people in the court to help me get started as a judge. And I had my own ideas about how a judge ought to operate, because I'd been a young lawyer before the judges, and I suffered some the indignities of being put down by the judges. There were many instances that I was that I still think were horrible examples of judicial conduct, arbitrary conduct by judges. I remember a case where one of the old judges, Ralph Liddy, who was kind of a character, he was, it was rumored that he would, when he performed weddings and people paid him $10 for the wedding, he'd take the money in and wash it off with soap and water. It was dirty. Didn't want to handle it.